Today, looking back and looking forwards. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to the latest post covering finance and problem news with a distinctively Australian flavour. Well, on the first day of the new year, I thought it would be good just to look back at our channel over the last year, see how we performed, perhaps talk about some of the most featured videos, and then look forward and talk about some of the research that we're going to do in the months ahead. And in passing, I'm going to highlight an exclusive offer that's going to be on at the moment and also talk a little bit more about a new channel, which I'm also launching. So stay with me through the show. So to start with, let's just recap on Walk the World. So currently we're sitting at 49,358 subscribers with just over 1,000 added in the last month. Now, not quite 50,000 yet, but not far to go. And I want to thank each and every one of you who've subscribed and supported what we've done. We really appreciate all your efforts, all the likes, all the sharing of posts, and the other participation, particularly on the live stream. So thank you very much. It is appreciated. And we'll be able to celebrate 50,000 relatively soon. But I thought it might be useful just to make a few top-level comparisons between this year and last year. So the first thing to say is that this year we released 609 videos through the year, compared with 511 last year. That's a 19.18% increase from last year. And in terms of impressions, so the number of times that people saw our posts, well, that went up by 23.76% from 61 million to 76.1 million this year. So that's a considerable increase. And that shows, I think, two things. One is more shows, but also more reach. Now, the next question is the click-through rate. So that's how many people went through to look at our shows. And that went up slightly. Last year, we were at 3.7%. This year, we're at 4%. So we must do a little bit more, I think, to try and make our titles really catchy without being clickbaity. In terms of views, last year we got 5.29 million views. This year it's 5.4 million, although actually it is up till yesterday, the 30th rather than the 31st, but it'll do anyway. So that's a slight increase of 2.08%. But in terms of watch hours, there was a 33.57% increase. So last year in 2019, 833,478 hours were watched on our channel, which is a pretty amazing number. This year we made it more than 1,113,258 hours, so up 33.57%. And that's a combination of, firstly, small videos, and secondly, some longer videos, including, of course, our weekly 1.5 hour shows live. In terms of subscribers gained, in 2019, we gained 22,596. This year, we've gained a further 23,500. So that's up just 4%. But we also lost more subscribers this year. Last year, we lost 3,812. This year, 5,770, which is a 51.36% increase, which of course explains why our net subscriber base is at 49,358. But it's interesting to look at which videos caused people to unsubscribe. And they were frankly the most controversial ones. So things to do with climate change, things to do with China and the US, things to do also with Bitcoin, were the three top reasons why people decided to unsubscribe. Interestingly, there were almost no unsubscribes relating to our general property and finance topics. So I guess that begs a question, should we steer away from controversial issues? And the answer to that is no, we're going to continue to look at some very critical issues and some controversial issues over the next year. In terms of shares, in other words, people who shared the particular videos, well, there was a 3.55% increase at 55,814 last year compared with 57,796. So thanks to everybody who shared our shows. But I also make the point there is plenty more sharing to be done. So I would appreciate it if you like a show, consider sharing with your social networks as well. And finally, looking at likes and dislikes, well, there were 230,177 likes in 2020. That's up 2.46% from last year. Dislikes were also slightly higher at 7,481 compared with 4,361. And again, the dislikes were concentrated on those relating to climate change, China and the US, and also to do with Bitcoin. So that was a 71.54% increase in terms of dislikes, which is not too bad still, because the overall ratio is still 96.9% likes to dislikes. That's pretty good, but not quite as good as last year at 98.1%. On the other hand, you could argue that that shows that we are touching a few nerves in our shows, and that probably isn't so bad. Now, I thought I'd just quickly go through some of the top shows over the last couple of years. Just briefly, in terms of 2019, and these are actually showing the number of views, we had a few down in the 30 to 40,000 mark on the economy, specifically on the bull trap. And that, of course, is when prices, particularly stock market prices, are going up and then essentially might drop later. Discussions about low interest rates and how much trouble economically are we in. We also looked at house prices several times, of course, and that was often a post that attracted quite a lot of interest. Then we discussed low interest rates and the impact of that, the control of the Fed, and Harry Dent, who came in below 40,000, particularly to talk about how to survive and thrive from the volatile environment that we're in. Deutsche Bank got a bit of a go. People are still watching the Four Corners show from 2017, where my analysis was featured in terms of mortgage stress. And discussions around the reality of bank deposit bail-in was also on the agenda, as well as the cash ban. Steve Keen featured, particularly his part one show with me, where we discussed the debt problem. And I have to say that Steve's commentary on too much debt in the system is still as relevant as it ever was. Another discussion on the cash ban, particularly important, of course, because we actually were able to sweep that away, shows that democracy can work. And then there was another discussion with Harry Dent, now above 80,000 views. Harry Dent says the bubble still has to burst. I think he's still saying that now. And then there was a discussion with Lynette Zhang and the Great Reset. Well, that was definitely a precedent show. And pretty much everything that she said back in 2019 is still relevant today. And the show in 2019, which hit the highest score, was The Real Issues Behind the Cash Ban. And that's where Robbie Barwick from the Citizens Party and I discussed the cash ban and the real issues behind it and what needs to be done. And I think that we can pride ourselves that between myself, John Adams, a number of other shows on YouTube, as well as Citizens Party, all had a big role to play in getting the cash ban swept away. And of course, we also got some politicians like Malcolm Roberts involved as well. So that was all showing that the power of democracy through the internet is quite possible. So that's just around 160,000. So let's now look at the top shows in 2020. And it's close to the edge with Harry Dent. Was a very popular show, well over 25,000 views. And then there's a discussion that I had with Tarek Brooker, our journalist, specifically called In the Eye of the Storm and Heading Over the Cliff, to mix our metaphors. Tarek and I recorded a number of shows during the year, and this one in particular, I think, was very significant and important. And again, I have to say that the issues we discussed then are still as relevant as they were when we made the show. The next one on the list is another Harry Dent show, In Property We Trust. And that was when, of course, we had Harry talking once again about the chances of property prices falling by up to 40% is still there. And so it's just a question of timing. Well, I still think that probably runs as a thesis. The question is, of course, will they go up first before they fall backwards? Chances are they probably will. Now, the show that I did on the New Zealand property conundrum a couple of months ago also did very well. And I want to reassure our New Zealand viewers that we're going to try and cover more of the New Zealand property madness in the year ahead. But that show did touch the main points: low migration, significant lending increases, and massive price rises. No surprise then that the Reserve Bank of New Zealand did start taking measures, well, slowly at the end of the year. More to be done, I think, there. Now, the next show to talk about is one with Steve Van Meter. Steve proved to be a very popular contributor through the year, and the show where we discussed the inflation-deflation paradox was a significant and important show at around 38,000 views. Steve, of course, shares my view, or I share Steve's view, depending on how you look at it, that we are more likely to move into deflationary territory rather than inflationary territory ahead, thanks to all the money printing. And central banks around the world are kidding themselves if they think that creating more liquidity and lower interest rates is a way to create higher inflation. Then there was another show with Harry Dent, again talking about property. Is now the time to get out of property, we asked, and guess what? Harry said, yep, always worth thinking about exiting while you can. And Harry's next show is also on the list with the biggest bubble in history, where he talks specifically about the bubbles around the world, the stock market bubbles in particular, the debt bubbles, and the consequences of that. And indeed, I also had a conversation with Robert Kiyosaki called Watch for the Signs. And Robert also was discussing precisely the same issues with regard to too much debt in the system, too much quantitative easing, too many risks, and a potential crisis ahead. Both Harry and Robert are very keen that people should consider how to prepare for a future fall in prices, particularly stock market prices, as well as property. But of course, Robert and Harry disagree on some of the major ways of doing that. And Harry's next show, Are There Still More Falls Ahead?, was another popular one, close to 40,000 views, and once again, it continued to propagate Harry's prime thesis. Now, one of the conversations that I did have was with my friend George. We actually made a few shows last year called Down the Rabbit Hole Part 2, where we talk about some of the so-called tin foil discussions. Was actually well received, more than 40,000 views, because we started to ask some fundamental questions about why things are the way they are, who's in control, and what may play out ahead. And the good news is that George and I will be recording some more shows over the next few months. So look out for the next rabbit hole in the series. I made a show quite recently on the Great Reset, future state, current state. And here I discussed the World Economic Forum's mantra about the need for a Great Reset and tried to decode what was really going on. This, of course, has proved to be a very popular show with more than 40,000 views. And I must say that the discussion about the Great Reset is one that we need to keep front of mind to stop the power merchants globally just running away with the show. So it's going to be important that we revisit this year. Now, one of my most recent shows, in fact, since Christmas, was the Sydney rental properties collapse. And that had well over 40,000 views and went straight into our top 10 shows this year. So thanks for that. Very important discussion, because property investors are really feeling it now with rentals, particularly in Sydney and Melbourne, dropping. And of course, many of them now will be forced to sell in the coming months. So this is a real now conversation. Also a very popular show was my discussion entitled Debt and Power with Michael Hudson, famous economist based in the US. I think of all the posts that I made this year, actually this one was probably in some ways the most significant. Certainly I learned a lot speaking with Michael. And it really touched on the question of how deeply entrenched neoliberalism is in the way things are being led and managed at the moment. In fact, neoliberalism and more debt is a fundamental tenet, but it also tilts the playing field towards the few affluent, away from the mass. And Michael's view is that unless this changes, we are going to go into a very difficult situation ahead. And interestingly, both Michael Hudson and Steve Keen discusses debt jubilees and why that might be something worth considering. Now, I made a show also with Robbie Barbett from the Citizens Party on the question of bank deposit bail-in. And we discussed specifically which bank won't be bailed in. That was a very popular post and got up close to 50,000 views. Then my conversation with George down the rabbit hole part one was also very popular, and that was well over 50,000 views once again. And exploring, of course, more of these wonderfully important but very weird concepts that underpin the way things are. So, for example, when we are at school, why do we get educated the way that we do? What assumptions are made? And when we get a loan, or when we buy a house, or when we buy things, who benefits? Very important discussion. And like I said, we're going to do some more rabbit holes ahead. Now, I had a conversation with Peter Schiff, who, of course, is very strong on gold as a cornerstone value-protecting asset, thinking that the US dollar is likely to depreciate in value ahead, thinking also that the stock markets are way overvalued. So the conversation with Peter was very well received, and we got well over 55,000 views for that, even though it's only a couple of months old. It's a show that I do recommend you watch, simply because there were so many important points that he made. Whether you agree with him, or whether you agree with Harry Dent, who thinks that prices of gold will probably go down first, then perhaps come back later. But it is an important question about inflation and deflation and the role of gold. And of course, Bitcoin is in there too. And then the show that I did called Negative Interest Rates Are Coming, Watch Your Cash, proved to be a very popular show, just short of 100,000 views. And negative interest rates, when we spoke about it, was a theoretical discussion. Whereas now, a few months later, chances are this year we are going to see negative interest rates, which means that certainly at a wholesale level, banks will have to pay to hold deposits at the central bank. But worst case could also be that deposit holders will have to pay to hold their money in the bank. This is a crazy, nutty situation created by madness amongst central bankers. So that show is as relevant as ever. And the show which hit the top ranking in 2020 in terms of views was another Harry Dent special. So is this the big one? And this was the show I recorded with Harry directly after the significant market crashes early in the year. Because, of course, Harry had been predicting a crash for some time, and he said at the time, no, this is a crash, but it's not the crash. And indeed, he still believes that the real crash, the big crash, the mother of all crashes, is due to come, and probably will come sometime in the next 12 months or so. So it'll be interesting to see whether that's the case. But it is worth listening to what he said then, because again, it is highly relevant. And that was a show that got the most views this year. And in fact, if you look at the average over the list there, the average number of views in our top 15 shows went up by about 20% compared with the previous year. So that's a good sign. Now, in terms of looking ahead, firstly, let me just remind you that next Tuesday, the 5th of January at 8 p.m. Sydney time, I'll be running my next live stream event, which will be our live Q&A. And that will include the latest stress scenarios, postcode data, and also our projections in terms of property price moves. And I can tell you, having just finished the modelling up to the end of the year, there are some considerable changes. So this will be an important show. Mark your diaries, and I'll see you on the 5th of January. And of course, you can ask a question live if you'd like to do so. Now, let me just also highlight the fact that we are still running our DFA one-to-one service. Of all the things I did last year, I think the launch of this service, where I'm able to discuss on an individual basis a particular postcode or suburb and look at the stress data, the house price trend data, and inform viewers where prices might go based on our modelling. Now, this isn't financial advice, of course, but it is nevertheless a significant step forward from the very generic information available in the publicly available property portals. And let me say that I had a large number of conversations over the last few months, in fact, many hundreds, and I really learnt a lot from having those conversations. So I want to thank everybody who took advantage of that particular service for their time with me. Believe me, I learnt as much from you as you may have done from me. But also to say, if people are interested in having a one-to-one conversation, you can arrange that. There is a fee involved, simply because it costs time and effort to do all the research. But it is very much a tailored, customized conversation. So if you're interested, please contact me via my blog. And I would say that spaces are limited each week, and we're booking roughly 3 weeks ahead at the moment. Now, the next thing I want to talk about is the launch of my new channel. It's called Walk the World Productions. In fact, Walk the World Productions is already available up on YouTube. I'll put the channel link in the comments below. This is where I'm going to start talking more about what I learned from doing my live streams and talk about the configuration of my studio. I've had many, many requests over the months for more details about how we do our live streams, what the technology setup is, and a bunch of other questions. And frankly, I don't have time at the moment to put those on the main channel. And when I do put specific information on how we do our shows on the main channel, I get a lot of negative comments. And in addition, I also got quite a lot of negative comments when I posted the occasional walking post or breath of fresh air post. Now, I did this earlier in the year when everything was locked down because I thought it was important to celebrate the outdoors. And Walk the World actually started as a channel specifically to record my walks around different parts of the world. So I'll be loading up a few more of those over the months ahead. So on Walk the World Productions, you'll be able to see the latest and greatest discussions about my studio. I'll go into some more technical detail, and I may even do a few live streams looking at specific technical issues, as well as sharing some of my back catalogue with regard to walks I've taken. So you might want to subscribe to Walk the World Productions. It is a separate channel, and that means you'll get notified when I make posts. I won't post so regularly to Walk the World Productions, but what it does mean is that I can insulate the main channel from discussions about the studio and the kit, and also the Walk the World programs that relate to my exploration of the planet. Now, there is one other quick conversation to have. As you may know, I also run a Patreon program, and there are a number of different membership levels from $3 US, $10 US, $25, up to $50 a month. Now, the $50 a month subscription allows the subscriber to receive each month full details of all my stress information down to a postcode level. Oh, there is also the $500 a month level where you get all the data, but I'm talking today specifically about the $50 US a month. Now, I am making a special offer at the moment because normally that stress information does not include the house price projections or the unit price projections for each postcode. But as a special offer, those who sign up during the course of the next week or so will be able to receive not only the stress data, will get the latest price movement projections. And that means that everybody who's already subscribed at the $50 a month tier will also receive that special gift. So in addition to all the postcode stress data, you'll also get my 3-year views of unit prices and house prices at a postcode level. And just to give you a flavour, that is precisely the data that drives the postcode tool, which I've been using over the last few months, that will be available shortly, and it will also be made available initially to those at the $50 Patreon level. So, if you are already a Patreon subscriber at $50 US, you will get that data in about a week's time. If you have not subscribed but would like to get that data, then now's the time to subscribe on Patreon. It's a very simple process, and that means that you will then receive the Excel spreadsheet version of both the stress data and also the house price and unit price movements projected over the next 3 years. And I can tell you that in the last month, things have moved quite dramatically. And whilst we're talking about interactions, let me just mention Twitter. I'm an active Twitter user at DFA Analyst, and I have a reasonable number of followers over there. So every post that I make also gets retweeted, which means that you can follow me on Twitter and get notified of every post that I make. And of course, there is also the Digital Finance Analytics blog, where all our posts are also made available. And finally, let me now talk about our 2021 agenda. I will continue with our range of guests, and those will include, of course, people like Edwin with our weekly rants on property, Tony LeCantro, and a number of other regulars, as well as other guests that come on from time to time. And I do want to say thank you for all those who've suggested people who might be interested in bringing onto the channel. And once again, there's an open invitation. If you think there is somebody who would be worth listening to, let me know and I'll see what I can sort out. But in addition to that and our analysis and our stress work, I'm also looking at a number of specific issues over this year. The first one is what I call truth in property reporting. This is probably my number one priority because it is clear to me now that the way that information is being spruced across the property spectrum is frankly disgraceful. And it's time for the ACCC, or maybe the Productivity Commission, or both, to have a look at this. So I'm going to be pushing quite hard for that, and also highlighting more and more of the holes in the current data. Obviously, Edwin is going to be part of that, but there will be other things we're going to do too. And that may also take us towards thinking about how we can share more information to allow people to get better information about what's really going on across the property market. Just don't believe the spruikers, I guess. Secondly, I'm going to be taking a tilt at the responsible lending reform, particularly as the consumer protection, as drafted, is to be removed in March. Now, there was an inquiry. As a result of the inquiry, there have been a lot of people saying, no, we need consumer protection for particularly mortgage lending, especially at this time. I agree with that. So I'll be pushing quite hard on trying to turn those reforms back to make sure that consumers are respected. The whole idea of turning responsible lending obligations away from lenders and just putting on the head and shoulders of borrowers is frankly idiotic and nuts, or at least very neoliberal. Now, I'm also going to talk about the rights of Australians. John Adams and I have made a couple of shows on this already, and there is a lot more to say, especially in the light of the inquiry, which is currently running, submissions due into February. Particularly important is the question of the use of social media and what warrants appropriate conversation and appropriate commentary and what doesn't. And frankly, our rights are being eroded left, right and centre. And that's a big deal. So we're going to be talking further about that. I'm also going to be focusing again on deposit bail-in. As I indicated a few weeks ago, this is not dead by any means, despite the fact that the amendment that the Citizens Party and Malcolm Roberts put up got knocked over. The truth is there are plans afoot potentially to clarify the situation. So that will be an important issue to watch, and we'll be talking about that in the months ahead. And it may take us into a broader conversation about banking reform and even the role of Aussie Post and whether Aussie Post should get a banking license. That could be also worth thinking about in this context. And then there's also another important conversation I posted a couple of weeks ago about asbestos and the fact that in Australia there is a disgraceful lack of awareness of the risks of asbestos. And it's not just individuals who are unaware, but there is a political agenda here to hide this issue from public sight. And bearing in mind that 4,000 people a year die specifically from asbestos-related disease, this is a big deal. And of course, my wife was also exposed to asbestos and has gone through a lot of treatment quite recently. So we'll be talking more about this and trying to get more awareness in Australia of the risks of asbestos and what needs to be done to mitigate the risks and to remove deaths down the track. So that'll be another important agenda for us. And I'm sure there will be other issues that come up. And once again, I'd say to you, if you have an idea for a topic that you'd like us to research, drop me a note via the blog and we'll see what we can do. And I want to say thank you for those who've suggested topics over the last few months, many of which has turned into shows, others which are still in the works. The problem, of course, is I've got too much research to do relative to the time I have to do it in. But that's nothing unusual. Let me just turn to a couple of comments on a personal note. Because this last year, a couple of things happened. Firstly, we lost our retriever, Jasper. He was 14 and a half and died earlier in the year. Jasper was a fantastic companion, and alongside Winston, our three-legged dog, made our days very cheerful indeed. So his loss hit us pretty heavily, but we celebrate his life and his contribution to our happiness. And on that note, we also took delivery of two Kelpies. Now, these are two-year-old Kelpies, ex-farm dogs. They're failed farm dogs, in fact, but are amazingly energetic dogs. They're called Meteor and Luna. Luna is the larger of the two. And one of my tasks at the moment is to train them to make them a little more sociable with regard to other dogs, because at the moment, given half a chance, they want to go and round them up. So Luna and Meteor have really brightened up our lives this year. And Winston, our three-legged dog, who is frankly quite near the end of his life, will probably need to be put down relatively soon. But we do have now Luna and Meteor as the next generation dogs. And just a word of acknowledgement to my wife, Jill, because actually she has helped no end with what we've done this year. And her work specifically on asbestos and her research, which we'll be featuring, will be a very important legacy to Australia when it's completed. And there'll be more information about that down the track. So in closing, I simply want to thank all of those who've contributed to the success of our channel this year. All those speakers, the one-off speakers, the regular speakers, all of those who've participated in the chat, on the live streams, those who've added comments to our posts, and those, of course, who've subscribed and shared our posts more broadly. And I would like just to make a final plea, and that is, please do consider liking our posts. It really does help. And also turning on notifications, because if you turn on notifications and enable notifications in YouTube, then you'll get direct alerts each time we post. And that means you don't miss a trick when we're making our shows. So many thanks for all your support this year, and I look forward to continuing to bring you quality content over the next few months and indeed years. And we'll be back to normal with our first content post of 2021. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.